Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live.
Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Coming hard every Monday night, Central 10 East.
Giving out prescriptions
for the Bears fan with a Bear disease.
Jumping in the chat room with a bar fries bringing knowledge. This show's an honors course if Bears football was a college.
Bears Girl's a moderator, Dr. Phil is the host.
Throwing dimes through the window from the open to the close.
Talking live on the air, that's known for my devotion. First name Phil, my last atotion.
Ask for Phil on Twitter,
bringing crews close in touch.
I'm riding foreign country, singing O Canada.
BHL, floor on top, like saliva does backwash.
I take this back to high school to take a football back course.
Yes, on the show, speak the serum of the truth. 365, Bears talk in the bar. Analyzing every one of Mitchell's 7-step drop.
No doubt, how is the leap? Cause we never flip-flop.
Bears
Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk. Bears Hour Live. One straight
Trubisky
hour
throws
of
again.
Bears talk.
And this time Shaheen's got it for a touchdown.
Breaking down the film, not a problem, get it straight. Other blogs focus on stats, we focus on the tape.
Bears down or up, BG's maple syrup.
Bears barroom worldwide, you never know who show up.
Marvel flipping pages,
it's the barrooms making shows.
Sometimes we get the man without his head in pantyhose.
Call HR, the show's about to start.
And while you're at it, stick that barroom sticker on your car.
Monday through Friday, the barroom's got you covered.
BHL places tags, cause Fuller's got you smothered.
Draft
Dr. Phil, it's always hit sticks. Splitting double teams like 96 and he picks.
Our line
keeps growing, Mitchell keeps throwing. Dimes on time and in the window we's blowing. No denying that the show is in collaboration with a fan.
Bears Girl moderated, Dr. Phil is the man.
Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Dumped again, Akeem Hicks.
The show where we always bring the truth.
Jackson, touchdown Bears! Trubisky to the 42-yard line! Oh my goodness! Howard left side, to the 10, to the 5, game over!
Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. Hello, Bears fans. This is Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil. I'm Bears Girl, and we have a full show for you tonight talking about all things Bears, including the Fuller deal that broke late Friday evening, the confirmed free agency signing, and what that means as we head into the draft, where in the world my Glennon goodbye balloons have been spotted, how you can win a copy of Pro Football Weekly's 2018 draft guide, and of course, your questions at Ask BHL. And Phil's favorite sidekick is in the house tonight, Shane the Smartest Man Marsaw. He will join us in a little while. But let's start this show like we do every week with your opening rant. How are you tonight, Doc?
I'm a little fired up. I'm on the cusp of happiness, but I'm let down with this superior complex that I believe one Greg Rosenthal has. And it's unfortunate because if you are any kind of a fan of football, you know these rankings come out and Shane will tell you and Aldo will tell you. It's to get clicks. But there is a biasness, and there's a level of when you're talking down to somebody, a level of stupidity that I won't tolerate. And that is ranking 32 quarterbacks and leaving Mitchell Trubisky off this ranking of 32. And I'll tell you why. Because I personally put in the time and energy and effort to bring the truth from the tape to the consumer and the fan and the fanatic. And in this case, it's a major letdown and disappointment. And I'll bring evidence. If we had Judge BG on the stand again, it would be me being the attorney here. Because Jimmy Garoppolo, let's start there. At number 12, BG, Mitchell Trubisky playing with Dowell Loggins alone. It's like asking someone without an arm to stand and with his hand across his chest to say the Pledge of Allegiance. So unfair. Mitchell's out there with Dowell. He's got his hand tied behind his back, and that's unfortunate. But yet, what you see on tape is Mitchell overcoming coaching. Then you hear about the talent he has surrounding him. Marcus Wheaton, what did he have? 3 catches? You have Wright coming in, Inman in a trade halfway through the season. Kevin White was hurt again. Cameron Meredith's hurt. Mike Glennon was your quarterback. Mitchell comes throwing it. We know the story. But on the tape, doesn't lie. And then you look at this Jimmy Garoppolo, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. This guy played against the Bears, was in the red zone 5 or 6 times, and came away with field goals. Mitchell's going one-on-one, minus the talent, minus the coaching, not even a question. And he's throwing touchdowns, he's moving the chains, he's keeping Chicago in games. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo played 5 games. Mitchell played 12. I'm looking at tape, and there's nothing I'm taking away from Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he's going to be an excellent football player. But you are just riding down that Walt Disney World train going into the amusement park if you're going to rank this guy 12th in the league and at the same time leave Mitchell Trubisky off. But let's look at some other rankings here. Tyrod Taylor, 22nd ranked. Patrick Mahomes played 1 game, 26th ranked. Sammy Glass Joe Bradford. Remember the guy that came into the Bears game? Couldn't handle himself. Remember that guy? Couldn't even get through the game. Got sacked. Had to leave the game injured again. That guy who almost gave the game away. Mitchell's first start, if you remember. Case Keenum came in and replaced him. The Vikings ended up winning. But Sam Bradford's ranked and Mitch Trubisky isn't. Wow. Give Sam Bradford a 3rd-and-3 and a cover-2 man look, and everybody's turned and the lane is open. Sam Bradford's throwing it 6 yards out of bounds because he can't step up and run for it. When you're ranking quarterbacks, let's put the whole picture together. Let's put it all together. These Greg Rosenthal rankings look like somebody leaving messages in a bathroom stall on the highway. It's ridiculous. Josh McCown, 30th. I love Josh McCown. But to rank him over Mitchell Trubisky, sad. Andy Dalton, for God's sake. The never-ending Cincinnati Bengals smear campaign of playoff disappearances and non-appearances. Andy Dalton's performance last year, looking at it in comparison, is ridiculous. How about Jacoby Brissett? How about Teddy Bridgewater? He didn't even take a snap. He's ranked. This kind of stuff just boggles my mind. And it's not a coincidence that this fan base with this radio network and other fans out there, you know, we joke a lot about the fan base and we got some stupid fans. And we do. But the education level that Bears Barroom is giving has made the voice of the fan even louder. And I think these national media heads want to pick on you, want to get you to click on their clickage and their stories. And this right here, it just got me good in the stomach, BG, because I feel like when I look at the tape of Mitchell Trubisky, despite the odds, this football player showcased so much that you want to like, that you do like, and that any coach worth their grain and salt in watching him perform is going to be excited. And there's zero chance that he's outside, in my book, the 20 area. He's about a 20 if I was to rank this. And that's saying a lot based on where he came in and what he's had to deal with.
So the chat room is agreeing with you in spades. Both Trey Busy, Chris Armstrong, John Santucci, Frankie Myers, they have been talking while you've been talking about this list. And I read the article, and I think I tagged it and saved it so that I could send it to Old Takes Exposed in a couple of months.
Yes, this is going to be a comedic, historic look. When the season starts, we're going to have a laugh, just like I laughed at people thinking we were going to trade Mike Glennon for anything if he performed well. That went down the tube, just like this rankings will.
Agreed. So let's talk about one of the big news stories that broke on Friday with the Bears. Someone and something we've been talking about almost every week here this offseason. And someone who is absolutely beloved by some of those in our chat room, Kyle Fuller. So I want to bring Shane in before we get down to the details on what exactly transpired. And if you haven't already read the brilliantly showcased article by super producer Aldo Gandia on bearsbarroom.com, you should go check it out because he chronicles exactly what happened. But Shane, are you out there?
I'm here.
And you're awake.
Yeah, I am. Just been listening to Phil wax poetic on these quarterbacks.
Do you want to add anything?
Well, it's the way that I look at it more than anything. And I mean, this is Phil put it perfectly when he said this is all about clickbait. You know, you talk about Tyrod at 22, Flacco at 24, Mahomes 26, Bradford 27, Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, that's just a god darn joke because I can't swear. But, the way that I look at it is put Mitch Trubisky, offer Mitch Trubisky to the Cleveland Browns and see if they will take Mitch Trubisky over Tyrod Taylor or to Baltimore over Joe Flacco or to Arizona over Sam Bradford or to the Jets over Teddy and Josh McCown or to the Colts over Jacoby Brissett. And who knows? I mean, Andrew Luck himself, nobody knows what's going on there. So this is nothing but clickbait. We're all rabid fans. We talk about this every single week. It pisses us off when we see lists like this, but that's exactly what they want. That's these guys. I mean, you see these guys, the Tribune, that try to fire everybody up, and it works because we're so devoted to our teams. And they want to rile us up so we'll interact on Twitter and talk about it on our podcast. And that's exactly what we do, but that's what they want. And unfortunately, that's just the world and the time that we live in the world of sports media. And that's they all want those fiery interactions, and that's what they're going to continue to get.
All right. Phil, any comments on Shane's take?
Oh, he's 100% right. I just think it's so disappointing. It's like if you wanted to rank them 32 to get the same kind of reaction, I think you would have. Mm-hmm. To leave them off there, I mean, you're putting your name on this piece of trash. And I think it's just a showcase of where we are in society that's disappointing to me. And that's really why I really fought to have these kind of shows with us. Let's just knock this out, Aldo. Let's just be able to talk about the truth. Let's be able to say what we feel and I've identified as misleading the fan and trying desperately to get those hillbillies up in those mountains to believe this kind of crap. Because let's be honest here, folks. There are people that take this stuff like the Bible, and they will run with it and believe it, and they fight you on Twitter, and we've all gotten into it. Josh Bellamy, all of a sudden, he's the next Jerry Rice. Caleb Haney was going to be a superstar. We've seen this. You know, Adam Shaheen's not a good talent. He's the last ranked tight end. I mean, this kind of stuff, people believe, depending on who's going to say it, and Captain Obvious is covering all the bases, and all that stuff gets misled, and it really takes a team to really get this kind of information out there. Because last point on this, you know, say what you want. I'm not going to agree with everything Adam Hoge says or the next person that I admire as an analyst in Chicago only. But have that moral reasoning and rationale that, yes, and now that you get that story. But to you, see, I can't do that. I can't have Aldo say, listen, I need you to write a story negative about this, about Jordan Howard and his drops. I can't turn around my persona and say, yeah, I'm going to get behind that and do that because it's not true. I saw improvement in the hand, and I would battle back. So that's why this article, leaving Mitchell off of it, based on what I am so excited about to share with Bears Barroom this spring about how good this kid is, it was so disheartening. But on to Kyle
Fuller. On to Kyle Fuller. So let's break it down for those that have been living under a rock and don't know anything about this. 4:40 Eastern Standard Time, it was first reported on Friday that the Packers had signed cornerback Kyle Fuller to an offer sheet. Ian Rappaport at Rapsheet reported this was the second attempt by a team to secure Fuller with an offer. One wasn't accepted, the Packers was, and the Bears had 5 days to match. Bears fans went wild, hoping Pace would not only match the offer, but wait until the clock hit 11:59 on day 5 to do so to screw the Packers. And Packer fans were sure they had their man. But less than 2 hours later, it was reported that the Bears matched the offer sheet and Fuller stays a Bear. It's a 4-year deal worth $56 million, the key number being $18 million guaranteed, because Fuller already had $13 million guaranteed from the transition tag. So, to sum it up, for $5 million more guaranteed, we got him long-term. Two questions for you both. First, was Fuller disloyal by agreeing to terms with the Packers? And second, why do you think Pace turned around and matched the offer so quickly? I have my suspicions and thoughts on these, but I want to hear yours first.
Well, you want me to go first, Shane, or do you want to go?
It doesn't matter. It's your show. You make the call.
For me, I'll just, because I know Shane will pontificate on this a little bit longer. For me, I want to knock out this stupidity, really, about loyalty and all of that garbage. You become a transition tag. Your goal is to get the best contract for your person. This is a collision sport, folks. Loyalty to the player isn't there, and loyalty to the team isn't there. I'm sorry. That's what I used to believe there is, and there was a time where players were free agents at a 12th year as a free agent back in the day in the 80s. But now with this game of free agency and the business side, there is no loyalty. You'll see some cases like a Drew Brees, for example. He's going to be loyal to a team that he's been with for so long. But this is Kyle Fuller's first opportunity, really, to set his market. And I hold no animosity whatsoever. I mean, my first reaction, not going to lie, was, damn, freaking Packers. I was mad at them. I wasn't mad at him because I know the game. And the game was to get the best amount of money and good for him. And that's how I looked at it. If he signed with the Vikings, same thing. The Packers are my most hated team. But really, ultimately, all praises to Kyle to get what he wanted. And that's the goal. If you're hating on that football player, and there's going to be this story. It's Kyle Fuller misses a player, falls down. There's going to be these, what do we call them, Jay? Meatballs that go on Twitter and start bashing. There was people bashing Kyle Fuller in August that he was a nobody, and B.W. Webb was better than him. This kind of stuff happens all the time. And really, ultimately, it's disappointing. But let me say this on the other end. I was not in the party of waiting to the last second. I think people get all antsy and the rivalry continue. I was all about showing him, no, we love you. We're matching. We love you. We want you back. And that contract that Prince Amukamara signed, his praises, if you read the article on Prince about Kyle and Kyle's focus on the tape and what he's being asked to do in the system and the philosophy of it. Listen, I thought Kyle is a better corner than Tremaine Johnson. I thought he was the best corner on the market, and the Bears were able to grab him and seal his services and now get a long-term deal. It was the right thing to do to match and show the player there is no animosity. We want you back. We told you from the beginning we're going to match anything and everything, and we are 100% true to our word. That was how I wanted to play it. If you go on my timeline, and I'm sure Dusty Rhodes could do it, I match right away. I don't even play around. I want him to know we want him back and we love him, because I honestly feel he's that damn good, and people in Chicago are looking at mosaics and history of the 85 Bear, and they're looking and forgetting there's no perfection. The closest thing we had to that was Walter Payton. There isn't any other. So what Kyle in a cornerback position needs to be done, I think you landed it and you did it right. And that's how I see that whole scenario playing out. Shane?
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it all comes down to us being fans once again. And I was the same way with you, Phil. You see that and you see Green Bay Packers. And you're like, oh, damn. It's true. It's just it's your first instinct, especially with that team up north. You don't want to lose anybody of value to them. But, you know, at the same time, is Kyle Fuller wrong for wanting to secure his future? No, I would do the same thing. My loyalty at the end of the day is to my family. You know, it
exactly.
Sure, you can say whatever you want about it being to the Chicago Bears. Kyle Fuller's got to take care of his family. Who know? Look at Ryan Shazier. Look how quick things can change. I'm not going to fault any 26-year-old guy playing a collision sport, like you said, Phil, for signing an offer sheet with any team to secure his future. That's how many times do we hear players and GMs say, "Hey, this was tough, but it's a business." Mm-hmm. Kyle Fuller knows that. And, you know, it goes both ways. But I, at the same time, it's a business. But I'm the type of guy, if a player leaves Chicago, the first thing I do, I unfollow them on Twitter. They're not part of my life anymore. They're not
exactly on Chicago.
So I'm, you know, I did it with Alshon. I did it with Matt Forte. Do I still like those guys? Sure. But I'm not checking up on him constantly. You know, Matt Forte happened to block me, but, you know, it's just one
of those.
Are
we still
things.
Talking about that?
He's got sour feelings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, no, Kyle Fuller, I think Ryan Pace did the right thing by doing the transition tag. You can say whatever you want. The transition tag alone showed that Ryan Pace wanted him back. He committed $13 million to him immediately by putting the transition tag on him. So they're not just – the transition tag doesn't mean that he wants him any less. It just means that they put a price on Kyle Fuller. And they – you know, the deal that he signed wasn't that – you know, it wasn't for $13 million, but it wasn't that far out of the ballpark. And I think at the end of the day, Ryan Pace, Kyle Fuller, got exactly what they wanted, and that's a long-term deal in Chicago.
And one other thing, I think it needs to be addressed, because fantasy football plays a lot of role in today's society and the younger fan, the millennials, if you will, Shane. But these people are human beings. And think about if you lost your job or had an opportunity to get another job and pay you more and give you what you want for your family, as Shane is. Great point, Shane. And would you take it? And then your job that you're at now comes back. Wait, we don't want you to leave. We want to match that, and we want to... Don't be a hypocrite. You're just the person that says, screw that guy, now he's gone. Or that guy's injured. And we all get caught up. I'm guilty of it too. But these contracts aren't guaranteed. So that guaranteed money is important in this collision sport, because as Shane also nailed out of the park, great example is Shazier, you know, or take our own Zach Miller. Think about him. His whole life has changed. His whole focus on what he's doing and his offseason, what have you. And you have to specialize and be special person to be able to redirect. And I'm sure Zach Miller will land on his feet somewhere based on his story. But there's a lot of stories that of a guy that was a, you know, undrafted free agent that goes out there, he's starting to ball out, hit his stride, and gets injured. And where does he go? These are human beings. They need to get what they can get when the getting is good. And that is how this is played. And I don't think, I hate to be echoing again, Shane, but I cheer for the jersey. It'll always be that way. I'll tell you the truth. If Mitchell stunk, I would tell you that, just like I did Glennon. There's no personal. If Leonard Floyd, I've always been labeled, I don't like Floyd. No, I like what I see, and that's what I'm going to tell you. Cameron Meredith, Kevin White, what I see is what you're going to get. That's how I'm going to roll with it. But these guys are human beings, and they really, in this business of football, you can't be angered towards the right to move. That's why they call it free agency.
So there's a bit of a debate happening in the chat room where some barflies believe the deal is a good deal, and others feel that it's not. And Nikki Kurtz, little Nikki, asked earlier online, is there a legitimate debate to those who say that we overpaid?
Well, that's what happens in free agency. I mean, you're not, especially early on, almost every single contract signed is going to be an overpay of some sort. But you see the transition tag number, it's coming in above that. But the benefit of coming in above that number a little bit is you're locking him up long term. And is it a good or a bad deal? Well, is it better to create a hole on your team? You know, that's mm-hmm. that's the way you have to weigh it.
Oh my God.
I think the correct play was exactly what Pace did. Put the transition tag on. I fully expect that the Bears offered Kyle Fuller a deal. He obviously wanted a little bit more and thought maybe the Bears were underselling him a little bit. So Pace said, all right, we'll let you hit the market. We're going to put the transition tag on you. Go out and get what your worth is. They weren't that far off. So at the end of the day, like I said, it worked out for Kyle Fuller and it worked out for the Chicago Bears. And the Chicago Bears, this isn't a cap-altering deal.
Right.
At all. It's a cornerback deal. I mean, if you're the next, let's be honest, the next big cap altering deal is when if Mitchell continues his ascent, that's going to be the one. It's not Kyle Fuller. They're not worried about Kyle Fuller's deal in 2020. The cap is fluid, like Phil said time and time again. It keeps on going up and up and up. And we see, you know, the very first day, everybody was saying that Jay Cutler was, you know, grotesquely overpaid. And then after a year or two, it kind of fell in line. But it is what it is. You got Kyle Fuller this year. You have him guaranteed. He's going to be around for the second year. But that's what these NFL contracts are. They're 1 or 2 year deals. When the guaranteed money runs out, then you're essentially on a year to year deal after that. That's true in Chicago. That's true in Green Bay. That's true in San Francisco. That's just the nature of the beast.
It's a copycat league. GMs follow other GMs. Cap is fluid. I can't stand. I got to get this off my chest. You want to value and place these numbers of what someone should be. How much should Marcus Wheaton be paid? How much should Mike Glennon be paid? Think about that money that was spent. And then you look at Kyle Fuller and what he did on the football field.
But it only was 1 year, Phil. Well,
that 1 year told me he's 1 year more mature. I don't know what it told you, but as a football coach, I look at a guy's performance. So Wheaton performed like garbage, hot dogs in the garbage. That's what he performed like. Mike Glennon performed like a frozen pizza. It's just ridiculous how these nerd fraud boys talk about the amount of targets and the amount of touches and the amount of this is how much he got paid. Well, let's look at pass mistakes. Free agency, Shane says it, I say it, it's a crapshoot. Brian Pace pissed down his leg last year. You look at what he signed, Cooper, Wheaton, Glennon, they stunk.
Hey, Phil, you know, everybody right now that's saying that Kyle Fuller, you know, or that the Bears overpaid Fuller, those same people, if the Bears had let him walk to Green Bay, would be vilifying Pace for not matching the deal.
Exactly. Exactly,
that's what,
Shane.
That's what a fan is. It's sure. And that's you. It's you're in a no-win situation.
No, we are in an education situation. On this show, do you want a hole? You're playing Madden. Let's take you in the virtual classroom. Are you going to pay Kyle that extra $3 million? Or are you going to save that to sign somebody else? Each architect sees things differently. But Kyle Fuller was a fit. He was that person in the secondary that set the tone. You saw a light switch go on. It takes a few years sometimes for players to find their stride. I was talking about it with Adam Shaheen, Shane. You started to see the light bulb go on and flicker until he got hurt.
It's the worst tight end on our roster, right?
Anybody defining that guy now, I mean, you have really lack of football acumen. I'm sorry. You have bias. Can't go in with bias. I'm trying to think of a player that's proven me wrong. And I'm sure Shane could go back and look at it. I'm wrong about guys coming from college all the time. This is a mental game, 80%. The 20% of everything else is talent and God-given ability and how they apply it to coaching and everything like that goes into it. But Kyle Fuller, to me, was a key. I mean, we can't talk crap all throughout the offseason, say, this is a key. This guy's a key re-sign. We got to sign him. And we had bloggers from our own site, writers from our own site, and other people saying he's a cornerback number two, for God's sake, a CB2. And to me, it's all about perception, reality. And I know I'm going to do the homework, and I know I'm going to tell you my truth here, which is based on that. And Kyle Fuller deserved what he got. Any fan, meatball, that's going to say, well, you lost him, like Shane pointed out, and not recognize, wait, the Packers signed him to that. And so did another team. I told you on this show, this football player is talked about and well-liked. They see what I see. Coaches believe in this football player. He's hitting his stride. You want to lose that and start all over with another player not akin to Vic Fangio and the coach? To me, home run hit. This is an A-plus offseason right now. And it really could have been, to me, it could have been a bad look. It would have taken the excitement of Allen Robinson, Gabriel, Burton, Lynch, Chase Daniel, Parkey, all of those signings. It would have put a Debbie Downer on it had he gone away.
So since we're talking about all of those signings, I think it's got to be noted and on the record that Shane has called several of these signings. So, Phil, do you think that Shane has morphed into Pace, or is Pace listening to our show? And if you're out there, Ryan, pop into the chat room because you'll love it.
You know, I give credit always. I'm pride myself on this. I will credit the non-blue checkmark, the super producer, the female Twitterer who called something. I try to credit where I see it. You might not have been the first, but you're the first one I saw. So I'll credit you. I always give Shane, we debate, but I love that guy. And these are the moments where I go out of my way to make sure it's known. This isn't a propaganda of BS. This is reality. It's covered on the audio. What we do here, what I see my colleagues do here, from UBG to the super producer to Nikki Pockets pulling audio, and to Shane Marcel. There's not a guy. If I was a head coach, I'd hire Shane as my GM, because debate and disagreement is so important to the process, because you want to get it right. You don't want to miss. You don't want to see something or be biased, and we all have biases. To get to this point, I'm sitting there just mesmerized that Shane's calling Trey Burton. Shane's calling Robinson. Shane's calling Aaron Lynch. He's calling these things on the show. This isn't, he's calling it with darts. He isn't guessing. And I know he doesn't, he never asked for this. He's never asked for it. And people used to criticize us because we agreed. I only agree because I agree with what he had to say, not because I like him. And as you know, we debate all the damn time. But in this case, yes, I think Ryan Pace was listening to Shane, because really he targeted these free agents. And Shane, I mean, you hit it out of the park, brother. I was so proud. That's a colleague. That's my teammate. I'm not afraid to praise. I know Shane throws around praises to me like manhole covers, like the old man Alice. But for me, I was a proud papa in seeing these things happen. And Shane, way to call him out. And really, how do you feel about them building the franchise around, let's be honest, you envisioned this through maybe Pace's eyes? How did you come to these things?
Are you done already? I can go back on mute. Go on if you want. No, I don't think that there's anything special about it. You invest as much time as we do in this, Bill, and we don't just watch the Bears, as you well know. We're looking around the league. We're watching tape of other teams and potential free agents and college athletes, and you just kind of get a vibe of, you know, we're heading into Ryan Pace's fourth draft now, and you kind of build a profile of what he's looking for. And in free agency, you know, it's you just write down some things, and you can kind of give yourself a group of 12 to 15 players and pick the ones that you think would fit. And it's just, I had a bunch of guys this year that I thought fit perfectly, and he just happened to go out and get them. I don't think it's a special talent at all or anything like that. I'm sure there's other people out there that did the same, but it's, you know, young playmakers that obviously they're out there for a reason. You know, injury, cap casualties, you know, cap situations on current teams. And we're lucky enough that they came free so Pace could pounce and bring the offensive weapons that we've been sorely lacking for decades to Chicago. And hey, the best part about it is, you know what? We're not done yet. We got a
we got another little over a month to go to build up our draft prep here, and we're going to be getting right back into it with our tape study, and we're going to do this all over again for the draft, and I, for one, am looking forward to it.
Well, one other quick point, BG, before we move on from Shane. Trey Burton, all of those names are one thing. But when he turns around and they don't tag Daniel Brown, and Shane points out, well, they did the same thing. This, say what you want, Shane. We don't, you know, fanatic. It's beyond that. It's an analyst. Because you don't get that crap on any Bears site. I will challenge anybody to show me someone who said, well, Daniel Brown, they didn't transition tag him, but they might pull him back. Because you remember what he did with Christian Jones? And then it happens? It's like, that kind of stuff shouldn't go unnoticed. And we don't. I don't normally go out of my way to praise anybody but myself. So I'm going to do it tonight for you, Shane. And I'm being facetious there, one of those moments that, you know, wow, freaking totally nailed that. And that, to me, is why, you know, some people will steal from me and Shane. We laugh about it at this point. It used to frustrate the crap out of me out, though. I caught myself. It used to be so annoying. Shane would point, hey, this guy's saying exactly what you said. Like, verbatim. We see it. Trust me. And now I've gotten to the point where it is kind of a showcase, a compliment, so to speak, because of you barflies. You know where it's coming from. Even some of the barflies will take what we're saying and they'll use it into their truth. And I don't find any offense to it. This is what this is about. There's no arrogance there. It's just me showing you. I mean, that right there is a home run ball. That's showcased out there for, if David Haw had came up with that byline there, that wait, there might be a possibility, or David Kaplan said it on his radio show, there'd be a 50,000 applauding David Kaplan and how in touch and in tune he is with Ryan Pace. Shane had nailed that out of the park, and that's not even the only example. It was over and over, and that's why I appreciate the smartest man in the bar room. Now we can move on.
Thank you, Phil. But we're going to stick with those free agency signings because they were all formally introduced to us at Hollis Hall last Thursday, and jersey numbers were also assigned at the same time. We've got Trey Burton wearing number 80, Taylor Gabriel wearing number 18, Cody Parkey wearing number 1, Chase Daniel wearing my favorite number 4, and Allen Robinson wearing number 12. Much debate about him taking 15 from Bellamy. I saw petitions. I even saw a GoFundMe account set up to buy the number for him. And just yesterday, he announced his new Twitter handle, dropping the AR-15 nickname and stating that he, in fact, wanted a fresh start here in Chicago. Thoughts on all of that?
Well, I think, you know, I don't want to give away anything, but I think politically it was the right move. This was pointed out to me by someone smart, so I don't want to be lying and saying I'm stealing, but I think I'll speak on it because I think it's pointed reference to the climate in Chicago, and let's be honest, the shootings and the things of that nature surrounding AR-15. I always speak the truth. This isn't anything that somebody else won't point out. But I think his agent and you, Allen Robinson, made the correct move. You alleviate yourself from any defining AR gun and all that stuff, and you make it about football, and you have a new change of scenery and a new place to do it. And in Chicago, I don't live in Chicago. I've been to Chicago six times, and I love the city, but I've not lived the city like some of you have. you know better than I do, but the environment and the shootings and all of that can be heartbreaking on so many levels. To alleviate yourself from any kind of shadow of that, to me, was brilliant. It was a brilliant signing. It was a brilliant move to just get yourself Allen Robinson the second. You're in Chicago now. Not a big fan of number 12, I got to admit, but I feel like I'm going to be excited about him wearing it and being that football player. And I think the political detachment of that, because let's be honest, at some point, somebody, some ignorant toolbox, Chicago Bears fan, after a law, a drop, or a key third down, makes it about something it shouldn't be. Alleviate yourself from that kind of distraction. And he totally did the right thing. So that kind of recognition of that by one of the smartest men really made me sit down and think about this. Was I going to open my rant with how impressed I was with it? Or were we going to talk about it? We decided to talk about it, and I just wanted to clear up. I think you get behind this football player, and I think it was a tremendous move on his part.
So there is some discussion in the chat room around what his new Twitter handle is, and it is not AR12. He actually went with just his name, at Allen Robinson. And Chris Armstrong makes a great point. Who would have figured that Allen Robinson was still available on Twitter as a Twitter handle to begin with? So good on him for either buying that from whoever he bought it from, or just by luck, having it available to him.
Well, one
Shane,
other thing.
Any thoughts on? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. One other thing, and I think, Shane, I'm going to throw this to you. How much of a difference, Shane? Because I've known Shane from afar for a long time, but how much of a difference was it for you, Shane? And I probably was stealing what you were going to say, that the Bears immediately gave you their jersey numbers.
Oh, yeah. It's little things like that. It's just you see little changes. I mean, I think it was pretty evident that they've stepped up their Twitter game this offseason since the change, too. You see, you know, they're taking little baby steps forward. You know, before, you would always see them just holding up the custom jersey that, you know, the having a number one on it or something like that. And
yeah.
It's just, you know, little things like that, that I'm one of those complete degenerates that gets into the jersey numbers. Like, I'm the same as you, Phil. When I saw him take number 12, I'm like, oh, God, I just don't like that number on a wide receiver. I'm into the number thing. I have my, like,
me
I
too.
Was... Same thing with I like number 80 that Trey Burton took. I thought that was a good number, but there's just some numbers that I'm not fans of. And it did. I loved seeing Chicago have the jerseys there and prepared and having them hold them up. And it's just little things like that that matter to us degenerate fans. And you see them holding their jersey, and there's people out there that I'm sure have already bought. Allen Robinson, number 12 jerseys. Chris Armstrong thought she was going to be wise and bought a Brandon Marshall jersey and was going to change the nameplate, but that blew up in her face a little bit. Sorry,
Chris.
You can always make it a Bellamy jersey.
Right, yeah, yeah. You make it a Bellamy jersey and send it to Marlon. He'll be happy. But no, little things like that where they're taking little small steps forward. And Phil, I agree with you with the whole AR-15. And I'm not here to make this into a political debate at all. I'm not going to make it that. But there's no doubt in my mind that this played into the, you know, the gun violence issue is, you know, it's a major thing in society right now that people are talking about, and it's even bigger in Chicago. And I'm sure his agent, and I'm sure even the Bears sat down and said, hey, let's just distance ourselves from mm-hmm. this AR-15. Let's not even make it an issue, because God, we know that there's going to be a David Haw or a Rick Morrissey or
exactly.
a Mike North or some jackass like that that's going to go out there and write an article, and it's going to make it an issue. And then there's going to be people that, hey, you know, Alan, you know, what is that? You know, what is your reference there? And it's as simple as Alan Robinson, number 15. And he looks at himself as a weapon. I'm sure that's fine. But in the temperature in the society today, just don't even make it an issue. It's at the end of the day, it's a number. He wanted a fresh start. That was the perfect time for him to make that switch. And bravo to him for doing it and not making it an issue.
And $20 says there'll be an article this week copying what me and Shane just told you about.
So before we get off the free agency signings topic, we got a question in the chat room from AirJer, who's asking, historically, has there ever been a day when the Bears brought in this many free agent signings announced at one time?
No, I don't remember it. And Shane would... The last time I remember anything was Brandon Malamalamula.
Yeah, Julius Peppers. Peppers. Chester Taylor. Yeah, that was when
Is there one more?
I think they had the big three there.
That was the last time I remember any big like deal done. I thought they did.
No, this was a cool way to do it. Bring them out one really at a time, get there. And I thought every one of the guys did very. I mean, even Cody Parkey, he was interesting to listen to, and quite honestly, out of all of them, Chase Daniel, I thought was fantastic.
Oh, my God.
You know,
God.
He got up there and kind of owned the room. And I know Adam Hogue alluded, I think it was Adam Hogue, or somebody today alluded to, you could just feel the difference when Allen Robinson got up there. You could just feel that vibe, like,
this is a superstar.
I'm here. And, you know, we're going to get this rolling. You could just, there's guys that are just different like that when they walk into a room. They command the respect, and yes, he's still young in his NFL tenure, but there's just those guys that have that innate thing. Yeah, they have that it factor, and that to me, that I was watching it on NBC Sports Chicago, and I could feel that vibrate through the TV. So I'm sure right there in the media room, I'm sure that was very apparent to them also.
I totally want to piggyback off you with Chase Daniel. I mean, I was so impressed with how football eloquent he was. He just was like a football coach out there. I don't know if you realize what that means. I texted Shane. I go, well, that's why that guy keeps making this kind of money, because his job is to be caretaker and go between the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator. That kind of invaluable ability to articulate. I mean, fans, I don't think realize how intricate football is unless you've ever been in a locker room on the college level, let alone the high school level, how much goes into the audibles and the playbook and protections and the checks and all this stuff that you have to process. So to have someone there that you know knows the system and is able to eloquently and understand his role and eloquently explain it and be that go-between, because there's going to be times your quarterback coach or your offensive coordinator is going to lace into you. And that good cop, bad cop, and having that shoulder to lean on. I know there was comments made of DeShone Kizer wishing he had a veteran quarterback for that reason. You have Mark Sanchez here, but I mean, to me, the comparison, it's not even close after getting to know Chase Daniel and what he had to say. And then again, Shane, you took my words. There was something Michael Jordan-esque about Allen Robinson's presence that I wrote down in my notes. There was just an air that this freaking guy, I get what he is on tape. I like what he is. But I didn't know the man. And I got a little taste of him. And there was something special about it. And I compared it to that air of confidence, that it factor that Michael Jordan. I know that Chicago, oh, Jesus, Michael Jordan. but I remember seeing that similar air about a human being. And I've been around professional athletes. I remember Mark Gastineau had a certain thing about him when I was around the guy. Brian Urlacher, I met. There was something about this was very, I think you hit it out of the park there. There was something special about him when he took to the podium.
Okay, guys, some other things coming out of Twitter that fans and barflies may not have picked up on today are regarding two of our existing roster members. Dontrell Inman was reported visiting Dallas today, and Cam Meredith tweeted out earlier that he was, quote, about to take off for the tour, but has since mysteriously deleted that tweet. One of our listeners, Badge, at Ryan Badgley 40, wants to know what the possibility of Cam really departing the Bears is.
Well, I'll hop in on this one, Phil. It's we got to remember these guys that are transitioned, and the biggest thing, the most important aspect of that, is the Bears hold the right of first refusal. It's the same type of deal with Kyle Fuller with the transition tag. He can go out there and he can visit any team. He can get contract offers from any team, and if he signs one, that contract for 5 days is going to revert back to Chicago. They're going to look it over. And I'm sure that's exactly why Cam Meredith deleted his tweet. I'm sure his agent said, all right, we're going to go on a visit. He tweeted that out. They don't want the Bears to know that they're going on a visit. I mean, the Bears can collect their intel any way they want, but they don't want them to know that. That's why that was taken down. But Cam Meredith is good. At the end of the day, Cam Meredith, to me, is not going to sign any humongous deal. And it's in the Bears' favor if somebody gives him a 3 or 4 year long-term modest contract that maybe they'll end up spending a little bit more. But Cam Meredith wants to cash in. He wants to cash in big. I'm sure, you know, he would be a candidate for the 1 year plan on breaking out and then cashing in next year. If the Bears can lock him up to a 4 year deal with modest terms, I mean, this isn't a guy that's going to go out and sign, you know, 3 year contract for $42 million like Allen Robinson did. It's not going to be anything like that. But if the Bears can gain control of a young ascending talent like Cam Meredith for 3 or 4 years and control him on a, you know, a decent contract, Ryan Pace is going to sign that contract quickly. And more talent the merrier, especially to give your young quarterback another weapon. And I know when he gets out there, and if there's talk, you know, Buffalo and maybe even like New England and things like that, let him go. Let him go let somebody else do the long-term contract work, and then Ryan Pace can hop on it. I mean, if it's a ridiculous contract, if somebody just throws grotesque money at him, I don't think it's probably likely they're going to match that. And that part of it, that's what's part of the game, and you're not going to get any compensation because he is an undrafted free agent. But I think the Bears are kind of looking forward to seeing what type of a deal that they can lock up a young talent like this for 3 or 4 years at probably what's going to be a fairly modest number in today's, you know, money crazy free agency.
You brought up the one team that I fear will try to throw, I'm not going to say Allen Robinson money, but bigger money, the money that makes the Bears thing, and that's New England. Because I know they have interest. I know they like this football player. And to me, I would have tagged him at the second round rate. Same thing. We could joke all we want, but that's just me. I don't like to gamble. I want to identify and say.
But do you see what I'm saying, though, Phil? If you tag him at the second round level, nobody is going to
get him for 1 year.
Nobody's going to come forward, and you're never going to. At a second round level, the long-term contract is completely off the table immediately. Nobody's coming forward and throwing you a two for Meredith. They're just not.
Right. So now, I think, I gotta ask you.
Yeah, the roll of the dice is we're gonna let you go out there. I'm gonna bank that you're not gonna cash in a big, big way, and then I'm gonna control you for 4 years at a modest number.
This guy's coming off injury, so that's in your corner. So the unknown, just like Allen Robinson, now the Bears have these unknowns because Robinson, Meredith, but I don't have a number to throw out there. Maybe you could come up with some number, but if it's, he's making $7 million a year, so 3 year, $21 million deal with $10 million to sign, now the Bears are thinking, do we do it? I mean, I just think you got to be in the same. This football player to me is important. I believe he's a part of the future, homegrown. You discovered him as a tryout player, for God's sake. And I think he fits offensively what you want to do philosophically. I know you spent a lot of money. You have enough money. I just want to see them match it. Again, I'm no hypocrite here. He's got his right to go out there and do the same thing Kyle Fuller did. And there's no anger towards Cameron Meredith. But Shane's 100% right. The agent were like, can you take that down? We don't want to look bad to the fan base you already have and start pouting off, and then we get no offers. And now you're stuck.
And it throws up flags to Chicago, because they're going to they have people out there that are going to, hey, Meredith is going on a visit. Go find out where he's going. They're going to have all their intel on that, and they're going to figure it out. They're going to look at the salary cap structure. They're going to look at how the roster is made up for that team, and kind of get a somewhat of an idea of what they're dealing with, and that's to Chicago's benefit. But it's going to be interesting, and let's not forget, Cam Meredith didn't just tear his ACL. He tore two ligaments. He hasn't been running that long. Even though he missed he got hurt against Tennessee in the preseason. He had a bigger injury than Allen Robinson did. Allen Robinson's been running, has been doing pool work. It wasn't that long ago that Cam Meredith started running because he had the two ligaments. Mm-hmm. And a lot of his thing is going to be, I'm sure there's going to be multiple visits with him, because people are going to want to look in to check on his knee to see how that is and see where they are. But it's going to be something really worth watching. But to me, again, if I'm putting my chips in the middle of the table, I'm betting on Cam Meredith being a Bear in 18 and beyond.
Could the Bears media department get Kyle Fuller and have him do a little bit of a presser? Here's a guy that returns to Chicago after having, I think PR-wise, that would be smart. And why don't we celebrate our own players? You brought them back. I don't get that, especially on a redone long-term deal.
That could be just as much. Kyle Fuller, Phil, he's an introvert. That could be just as much Kyle Fuller saying, I'm back. I've been here. Everybody knows me here, and I would prefer not to do the presser. He's not that type of guy. He's very quiet. He's secluded. He keeps to himself. And I think, when was the last press conference Kyle Fuller had about anything? Was it on draft night?
Draft 2014? Night. That's what I'm saying.
I would venture to guess that maybe Fuller himself said, I've been here. The people know me. Everybody knows I signed the deal and you matched it, and it is what it is, and I'd prefer not to go out there. And he's just that type of different cat, and that's completely fine. If that's what he wants, make your player happy. I have no problem with that. I mean, we're not going to gain a whole lot out of out of a press conference from Kyle Fuller. I think at the end of the day, he wanted to be here. He wanted the long-term deal more than anything, but I think we all know that he wanted to be a Bear, and Fangio played into that too, but I'm not going to count out it just being as simple as him not wanting to do a press conference.
So for those still listening in and in our chat room, it is 11:05 Eastern, 10:05 Central, which means We are now Bears Hour and a Half Live, so stick around. We've got a couple more things to cover tonight. So let's talk draft. Shane, you had a dramatic draft scenario you asked Phil in our DM chat box over the weekend, and he decided to save it for the show. So why don't you share it with our listeners so they can play along with us in your draft dilemma?
Well, everybody knows that it's Phil and I don't just talk on the show, and it's the same with you, BG, and Aldo. We're all talking pretty much throughout the day with each other, doing, you know, about stuff with these shows and the draft and free agency. And yesterday I sent Phil a text. I tend to look at things a little bit differently and maybe a little bit outside the box than most people. And I really think the way that this draft is shaping up, you saw the Jets jump up from 6 to 3. And Ian Rappaport put out a tweet saying that they actually offered that same deal to the Giants. I know Greg Gabriel sent out a tweet saying that the Giants and the Jets don't deal with each other. Well, I don't know. Maybe they didn't in the past. I think when you're talking about that much draft compensation, I think you're going to obviously listen. And if it's going to benefit your team, I don't think it matters really who they're from. But to me, I see on draft day quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4. I put in the chat room earlier, I think Buffalo is going to be the team that pops up to number 4 with Cleveland, and Cleveland's going to bounce out and take a bounty of picks from Buffalo because Buffalo is going to want their quarterback. And I said to Phil, what do you do? I think there's a legitimate shot that Saquon Barkley is going to be around for Chicago. And I know that's going to surprise a lot of people, and probably a lot of people are calling me crazy. And the exact deal that I brought up to Phil was, what if Indy is on the clock and Indy calls you and says, hey, flip us Howard in 8, you come up to 6, and you can take Barkley. And I mean, I think there's a lot of scenarios out there that we will legitimately see Saquon Barkley at number 8. And like I said, I haven't checked the chat room. They're probably all calling me crazy right now. But this is going to be a quarterback-driven draft, and I really think that it's setting up that 5, 6, 7, 8 right there. It's not going to surprise me in the least if a guy like that's going to be available. And that's, I mean, to get back to the deal itself, that's what I talked to Phil about, and I'll let Phil answer. He was sweating a little bit trying to figure things out, so I knew it was a good question to him. But Phil, I'll let you expound on your
chat room has answers, and I won't give them until Phil shares his perspective on this one.
Well, Shane, it was actually Saturday, so Shane came up with this before anybody was talking about it on podcasts and what have you. So he sent this text to me, and I had to sit there and think about it, because here I am looking at the philosophy of the offense, and that's what you have to do within the personnel. And to me, Saquon Barkley is a generational football player. I don't throw out Walter Payton and Barry Sanders comps to anybody. Like, there are some people that are bringing up his yards per carry versus this guy. Every team, every scenario, every little stat can be manipulated. What I see in this football player cannot, and that is an absolute fit into what this team needs. If you're looking at this team, and I love Jordan Howard, but I came back to the Colts and I said, are you going to have to throw in, a fourth round pick, Shane, or a third round pick?
I think you said a fourth or a fifth.
So I'll come up to 6. I'm going to give you Jordan Howard and our 8th. You're going to give me the 6th pick, and you're going to give me a fourth round pick, and I'm going to take Saquon Barkley there. That is how I process this. And then you look at what he's going to bring with a Tariq Cohen, Gabriel, and you know all the signings. This is a football player that could flip the field. I think he's the best football player of the whole draft. He's dynamic. He's a game breaker. You get him in the open field like Nagy is going to do. I mean, you look at what you're doing with Lamar Hunt over there offensively. Look at Kamara in New Orleans. This guy is better than them. Like, trust me when I say, we're talking about quads the size of tree trunks and athleticism and agility that I haven't seen. Balance and counterbalance. I mean, this guy could absolutely become the next Walter Payton in Chicago. That's how highly I think of him. So my assessment is to get the game breaker. I love Jordan Howard. This guy also can bring a level of moving him wherever you want. He could play receiver because he's very, very good in regards to catching the football and his speed. I mean, look at his 40. 4.4 flat. It's like the guy is a legit game breaker.
So would you like to hear what the chat room has to say?
Sure. Why shouldn't we?
So I'm not going to give names because it would take too long, but we have If Barkley is 8 trade down, the guy who's going to drop is Fitzpatrick. Take Fitzpatrick. Imagine Fitzpatrick and Jackson in the same backfield. Wow. Why are we talking about this? The pick is Quentin Nelson.
Oh, my God. Who was that idiot that wrote that?
The salty Puerto Rican.
So,
hey, that's what the Barflies have to say, guys.
All I'm going to say, I'm a Jordan Howard fan, too, and all I'm going to say is I'm not even going to say that the trade is realistic because I think there's an absolutely legitimate shot that he's staring you at the face.
Oh my God.
Can at you number imagine? 8. Just,
I'm
going to
be like a freaking nervous wreck if that's happening. My heart will be pumping. I was nervous when we
get a hold of Nikki. Get a hold of Nikki Pockets. Have him pull this audio.
You know, he's in the chat room.
Yeah, Nikki, right. Pull it and come back to me. I'm telling you right now, the way
he's
that
taking
this is,
a shot, the way your offseason has been, holy shnikes.
He's getting some support.
The way
George Hughes says you're right.
If Barkley's there, just somebody call. Diddy's going to have to call and check out. Somebody, because I'm going to be a nervous wreck. Because
people are going to be out there saying you got to protect Mitch, just like we protected Mitch with our crappy situation on the offensive line. I can protect my quarterback with a fantastic set of running backs.
Exactly.
And you show me a more versatile backfield, and I'm not trying to kill Jordan Howard here. I'm just there's nobody that fits what Matt Nagy wants to do better than Barkley. I'll just be completely honest. And when you combine, you give Matt Nagy a backfield of Saquon Barkley and Tariq Cohen.
Oh my God.
Combined with Turbo Gabriel and Allen Robinson. You
know what? I don't think they understand.
It's going to take you guys about 5 games to be all those no's are going to be like, yes.
Yeah. Can we get the Destiny Child drop finally?
And just, I'll throw this out there too. Just because you don't take a guard in the first round doesn't mean that you're not protecting your quarterback.
Exactly.
We got to go offensive line because we have to protect Mitch. You can protect Mitch. I'll get you a guard in the second round.
You a guard in the third round.
Sure,
I guarantee too. You that. If we trade down from the second, we pick up another 30, we still get our second.
And
that's my plan.
Don't count. Hey, everybody was so excited when they brought in Harry Hestand. And you can poo-poo Jordan Morgan all you want. Let's not forget about Eric Cush. There's guys, maybe that's why they have Phil. This is another conversation.
We're going to talk about this.
Yeah.
100 proof.
Right. But another conversation that we had. The Bears didn't make that offensive guard move in free agency. Do you think maybe that has something to do with Harry Hestand and Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace looking over the roster and not making that a priority? Do you think maybe it's...
I have to say 100% yes. Because I don't want to get too deep into it, but seriously, if you're not coming out opening night and going after a guard when you see that hole, then you've assessed your roster to say, wait, I really like this freaking kid, Jordan Morgan, or this guy, Kush. I'm telling you. Or, by God's heavens miracle way, Shane, Grasso's being asked to lose weight and be a better football player. I don't know. I honestly don't know, and I'm never going to sell another football player out, but I think the zero movement in the first line of free agency on the offensive line was very telling. It has been before, and Shane's calling a shot on Barkley. I'm telling you, I could see. I loved Jordan Morgan when he was coming out. I could see that guy fitting in real well with Harry Heiston.
Well, just like you two debate, the chat room is debating on Barkley and Eric Kush. And there's a bit of collusion going on because both of the gentlemen able to pull audio for us have decided they're going to pull audio and file it under Nevermind.
Oh, jeez. They're taking shots at us?
Right. They are.
They can play that on their little micro podcast then, can't they?
As long as Nikki pulls the audio of him describing Quentin Nelson like he was describing the Incredible Hulk, then I'll be cool with it.
Strawberry Shortcake is the Incredible Hulk compared to Nikki. Come on, anybody.
Okay, lots of great questions asked online earlier using our hashtag AskBHL, and there are several popping up in the chat room, too. So are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right, Tom O'Malley at Tom O'Malley 23 asked earlier, lots of chatter about the Colts trading down again. Would you guys trade our second round pick to grab Chubb if he's still on the board at 6? That's plan A for me at this point.
Nope. I'm not giving up a 2. To go there. Nope.
I don't know if I'd give up the 2, but I definitely am in the trade market. I'll give up a 2 in 2000. What is it? 19? Next year?
Yeah. They're not.
19.
That's not Colts, happening.
Yeah. Colts aren't making that trade.
They might.
No.
All right, how about this? Way.
Why are the Colts trading back? You got to think of that, too. You know, they got
to. They were trying to pick up. How about this? I'm giving you Nick Kwiatkowski. I'm giving you the 8th pick and a 2nd round pick next year for that pick.
They'd laugh at you.
That's my trade offer, Ballard.
All right. Okay, our next question comes from AirJer, Jeremy Kramer. Can we get a projected starting lineup from the doctor? Curious about what offensive line and defensive lines look like. And as it currently stands, who would be your starting tight ends?
Oh, man. I got to think about this.
Start from the bottom up, Phil.
The bottom up. Flip it all around. Listen, he wants the offensive line, the defensive line, and the tight ends. This guy's asking a lot of me. Leno is obviously your left tackle. Right now, I look at Kush playing left guard. Center's Cody White here. My right guard's Kyle Long. And Bobby Messiah is playing right tackle. On the defensive side of the football, he just wants the defensive line. That would be Hicks, Goldman, and I'm starting Roy Robinson-Harris over Ballard to me. Something naturally about Harris. I thought he was going to super shine down the stretch. He got banged up. I thought he was taking a step there like Leonard Floyd. And then he got banged up in that Baltimore game with a concussion. And then that set him back. But really, ultimately, I think that position too, that defense, that 5-tech opposite of Hicks, they haven't gone out and tried to sign anyone. Sue's out there. There was some other names that just got signed that me and Shane were going back and forth talking about. But there's a reason why. And if it's the draft and you have a good vision of that, or is it Roy Robinson-Harris and Bullard taking that next step? That's your start. And then tight end, it's very easy to me. It's Shaheen is your starter going into next season. Trey Burton's your U tight end, your move tight end. Sims is that second tight end that's going to block backside, do the cutoff, run the waggle route, a deep dig. He's shown athleticism. And then Daniel Brown is that other guy. Broniker, to me, is an unknown. Maybe could play fullback. Hasn't shown me enough, Shane, to even put him on the 53 next year, unless how they're going to keep these. Daniel Brown is more athletic. Great call by you. They got him back. And I think that's how I would rank those tight ends.
Shane?
I can't disagree. I think it's going to be interesting the way that Phil set that up. It's going to be interesting to see how the five tech plays out with Bullard and RRH. I know some people are down on Bullard. I think it was Adam.
He played better. He played better than people thought.
He did. I totally agree. And Adam Hoge alluded to that too, Phil, and pointed to the fact that he was kind of down on the Bears losing Mitch Unrein to Tampa as a free agent. And he said that he was under the impression, the way that he was making it sound, that Unrein was actually holding off Bullard, and Bullard was effective in the snaps that he did play. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because I think they are very, very high on Roy Robertson-Harris. I think they're high on Bullard. You heard Vic kind of single him out and talk about him. And
two
he's got
young
that
players, Shane.
Yes, exactly. And that's when you're talking about assessing a roster, it's just like we were talking about with the left guard position, how that's going to unfold. We don't really know exactly how they're grading these guys out. And let's not forget that this defensive staff is back, so they're completely familiar with these guys. And also, you're gonna be taking jumps. These are still young guys. It's not like they can't improve. So let's not discount that too. But I think you put that good, Phil. I think that's going to be really a battle to watch. And but at the same time, I don't think we're done there quite yet in free agency or the draft.
What about the tight end position, Shane?
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying, and I mentioned that I wasn't done with Deion Sims, and obviously the Bears aren't. I mean, he's going to be here unless a trade scenario comes up, but I mean, with him being guaranteed, what is it, $3 or $4 million, he's going to be a part of the roster, and with a viable coaching staff on the offensive side of the ball, I'm not completely done with Deion Sims. He's 26, maybe 27 years old. And this is really going to be a tight end centric team. Mitch, we've seen that. You know, it's going to give, I think you're going to see these guys all be involved at some point. And yes, Deion Sims isn't the perfect. He's not the big bruising blocker that we want, but I still think that there's some upside there to improve on. He's never going to be perfect. I realize that. And he is expensive, but I think he's going to be serviceable in enough areas where he is going to provide some value, even though financially you're not going to get a huge return on that investment. I wasn't ready to move on from him. And I'm one of the, you know, lone voices out there saying that I'm actually glad that he's back, or he wasn't released from the roster. I'm glad that he's still a part of it.
Yep.
Okay, Matt White at Carl9730 asks, what do you do if Minkah is the best player available on the board, meaning Nelson and Chubb are gone when the Bears step up to the podium? Do you take the kid or perhaps reach a bit for the need of edge?
Well, it depends on the board, who's there. I'm a big Davenport guy. I believe he's in the conversation at 8, no matter what. I think if you look at Ryan Pace, you look at Leonard Floyd, to me, Davenport has more than Floyd had coming out of Georgia in what I deem a pass rusher. It's instincts, traits, physicality. He's 255 pounds. He went up into the Senior Bowl, dominated there, gets to the quarterback, length, everything you want, that Mike Tyson-esque close that I like, where he's length and his arms are strip sacking. This guy's going to be in the conversation. The GMs around the league are trying to ho-hum this, but the tape and the traits don't lie. And when you look at what he did at the Senior Bowl too, it just raised him up to me. I know Shane and I have battled back and forth on his lateral movement and stuff like that, but I want this guy to get to the quarterback. That's what gets home. To me, he's second to Chubb at doing it in the whole draft. And then Tremaine Edmonds is going to be in the conversation. The traits are there. Shane is not wrong. It is there. It jumps out off the tape. I think Greg was right. He's not as instinctive as you like, but if you're moving him and you're coaching him and your philosophy, that's there. And Fitzpatrick, to me, I am not afraid of that football player. I can play him at the nickel cornerback position. All of a sudden, Bryce Callahan becomes a chip you could trade. Maybe Colts want that in a trade. We trade up and get Chubb, whatever. But I digress. Fitzpatrick, to me, I always do five guys at the choice every year. I always do that. I'm kind of showing my hand here. But Fitzpatrick is one of the five to me. I just think, I know Shane's a Bama boy, Roll Tide. But for me, this guy reminds me of Mike Brown. There's something about him being around the football, being able to blitz, being able to generate a pass rush from that nickel corner, slide back, depth at safety. Morgan Burnett, I've heard Eric Reed, other names. How about a Kenny Vaccaro in free agency? These second-tier signings the Bears need to move on from a Brzezinski. I know they have a few guys, DeAndre Hall, whatever, but getting a player that can be instrumental into the secondary, like a Fitzpatrick, that could flip-flop and be similar to what you saw in the Honey Badger, but more disciplined. I don't think you can go wrong there with that pick. I wouldn't hate that pick. I absolutely love the football player.
Shane?
Yeah, and Fitzpatrick, everybody knows that I'm an Alabama fan, like Phil said. I don't think he's going to be the best player available at eight, to me, all day long. I'm taking Edmonds or Roquan Smith over Micah Fitzpatrick. I think people fall in love with, and, you know, watching Alabama, they have a fantastic defense. I mean, they're loaded at every single level. And if there's a weak spot in their defense, it's the secondary. And that's, I'm not saying that Micah is the weak spot. But to me, he's going to come in and he's going to be your nickel guy. And I don't know. I like Micah. I don't love Micah Fitzpatrick, the player. To me, there's a lot of ha-ha Clinton Dix there. I think he's going to end up being a better collegian than pro. People fall in love with the versatility there. And, you know, he's going to play strong safety. He's going to play free safety. He's going to play outside corner. He's going to play nickel. Well, that's, we'll see. I think his best spot, and he himself has even said it, that he likes to play, that nickel position. So, to me, I've seen every snap of his career multiple times. Like the player, don't love the player. To me, he's not going to be the best player available at eight. Like I said, I would take Roquan Smith or Edmonds all day long over Minka.
So speaking of Edmonds, Chris Armstrong at Chris Armstrong 1 says he has a ton of potential, but is he being overhyped as a top 10 pick?
Fitzpatrick? Yes, he is. I agree with Chris.
No, Edmonds.
I know. I got to take my shot. This is the thing. You know, when we had Greg Gabriel on talking and, you know, he says that you can't project. Well, I don't agree with that. The NFL draft is all about projections. You know, you see it at quarterback. You see it with when we drafted Leonard Floyd. You saw it when we drafted Kevin White. who, mm-hmm. you know, it's all about projections. Is Tremaine Edmonds the player in April that he's going to be in, you know, April of 2020? No, I don't believe so. Is he going to come in day one and do everything correctly? No. Is Roquan Smith? No. Is Micah Fitzpatrick? No. These guys, there's going to be a learning curve for all of these guys. Some of these guys are going to be, you know, farther ahead. Like Roquan Smith right now is a better player, I can say that, than Edmonds is. But you're, of course you're projecting. That's what this is all about. Is he going to be the better linebacker in 2020 and 2022? You're projecting out.
Shane, did they project Brian Urlacher?
Exactly.
It's the exact same thing. I know we compare the two, but it's what separates the men from the boys. There's frauds out there that are searching and trolling and looking for somebody else's football right. acumen to use. And then there's guys that actually see the projection, have been there, have coached it, have studied it, or watched every snap or whatever.
Let me ask you this. Now, like I said, we're going into year four of Ryan Pace going into the draft. And I'm going to give you three players right now. Roquan Smith, Edmonds, and Micah Fitzpatrick. Knowing Ryan Pace the way that you know Ryan Pace, who fits the profile that Ryan Pace is going to draft at number eight? Tell me, who is it?
Well, it's going to be Edmonds. Very easily, because the ceiling is so goddamn high on that 6'5", 250-pound linebacker playing off that has the potential to move outside and become a pass rusher or play inside and be a flash to the football. Was Nick Kwiatkowski a good, intricate run defender? No. Was Brian Urlacher? Did he have to learn the instincts? It's a different game on that level. I totally agree with you, Shane. All of it is projecting. Why are there so many busts? How many sure things? Tony Mandrich was the best guard to ever come out of college. There was a surefire. Can't miss. The kid from Iowa. What was his name? The tackle.
Robert Gallery.
Robert Gallery. Oh,
Jonathan. Jonathan Cooper.
Jonathan Cooper. All Greg these Robinson. Offensive linemen. Quarterbacks. Tony Maravich. Marinovich. Todd Marinovich. Couldn't miss. They miss. There's something mentally missing, and you have to project it. There's a little luck involved. But again, these GMs and what have you have the opportunity to sit down. Like, we are talking about Allen Robinson, what we felt across the table in a city far away from him. Imagine getting 15 minutes to assess, and Nagy said it. Mitchell sounded rehearsed. Once we got him in our thing, now I got a feel for the kid. That feel for the football player, the studier, the guy who loves the game, that's the number one. Again, I'm referring back to Greg Gabriel, Michael Haynes. He didn't love the game. Talent, who was the other? Vernon Golston didn't love the game. You know how hard it is to battle and be sore on a Monday and so sore on a Tuesday? Then pad up on Wednesday, go through practice, mentally process what another team is doing, your body. So, trust me, that's why I get fired up with fans to now understand the battle and the rigors of what it is that they go through. It is a mental game. You have to give it to get it. And there are undrafted free agents that are in the Hall of Fame. In fact, there's more undrafted free agents in the Hall of Fame than there are first overall picks to go into the Hall of Fame. Go look that up. That is about heart. That is about determination. That is about love for this great game of football. And the story on Edmonds will be in the sit down. Yes, he has potential. He's got all the traits. Does he love the football game? Me and Shane don't know that. We don't get to sit with him. So we're just going to tell you what we have. So when the the guy trolls in, "Well, Phil, you said this about this. Ha, 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 ha." I didn't get to sit down with this guy. I'll take it on the chin, whatever. But look at my record overall. You want to nitpick, Buster Brown? Let's nitpick the whole process. That, to me, is what stands out. You're projecting all of it. Shane is right. That's why it's so much fun. That's why it's the ultimate reality TV show. The draft is on three primetime nights, for God's sake, or two primetime nights now. Because it's so freaking amazing to watch these teams build their draft and see where people are going. Just remember, Shane, the reaction that Mitchell Trubisky got when he was drafted, right? When he was drafted, no, 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 in the chat room, no, 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 was all throughout the draft room. And especially Mike Glennon was saying it too, bro. So now look what we are now. It is tremendous.
So my sources are telling me the Nelson Edmonds debate is going to take us right to the draft over the next 5 weeks. I've got three more questions. Frankie Myers, Chachi asks, are there any players that you believe the Bears could be targeting in this current tier of free agency? And of those, are there any potential diamonds in the rough?
Well, I don't know, Shane. I have a couple guys. Obviously, Hankins, to me, to get someone in there, I know that's like a guy that was signed by the Colts. I just really feel like he fits philosophically what it is we're doing. A Navarro Bowman, to me, makes complete and utter sense to get that football player health-wise. We got to check him out, obviously. I don't want to take so much time. I'm going to give you a Brian Schwenke. I love this kid coming out at center. I think he's an upgrade to Grisou. Came out of Washington. I've always loved that football player. I think he could give you that backup at center. He could play a little guard. I think he would be a great signing to build competition, even to push fire under Grisou's ass. There's obviously a lot of DJ Fluker, Jokel I like. Jokel's a young kid. Fluker could come in here. I've always liked Fluker, too. Maybe make him a right tackle. Get him under Heistin. Get that kind of football player like that with a great coach. You might catch lightning in a bottle with Fluker. He's a real screwball, as I tell the Sandy Tom. And my real under-the-radar guy, I mentioned him on the show in the second tier, is Michael Campanaro out of Wake Forest. Freaking love this kid coming out. He almost single-handedly beat the Bears in Baltimore. If you remember, he had two punt returns for touchdowns to tie the game up. Campanaro could work the slots. He's got great suddenness. I know he's coming off an injury previously, but he's somebody I would bring him into camp. Bring this kind of football player, and at least I know I don't want to put Cohen on special punt return. I want a Campanaro on punt return. I want somebody else out there and get Cohen into the football game and focusing on that side of the football. Shane?
No, Hankins was my number one. I think he's a perfect fit here. Mm-hmm. Phil, I know you're a fan of this guy and you've talked about him in the past. I think Carl Klug would have...
Oh, I forgot he's out there.
Yeah, he would be to me like kind of like a Mitch Unrein signing to come here. He's not going to give you any flash or explosion. He's just going to be that workman fabric type player. I think he fits. I think a younger guy like Quentin Dial from Green Bay, another type of guy, he's not going to provide you a bunch of flash. He's just going to be able to hold the point of attack, and he's a guy that can just provide you some steady play. Who else do I have here on my list? The one guy that kind of interests me, Phil, and I would kind of be interested to know your take on it. I know he's been on a couple of visits, is Cam Fleming from the Patriots.
Oh, yeah, the tackle.
Yeah.
That's actually a great, great point, because you hear you are Sowell. Is he guard, Shane? Is he a tackle? I don't know where their idea. I would love to know where Heistin, because obviously they assessed him, Sowell, that is. Is he the right tackle back? Is he the left tackle swing that they feel highly on him? Because I know other people weren't high on him, but in the preseason, I really liked that football. I was like, this is an under-the-radar solo I'm talking about. But Fleming is a real good bring-in for competition at right tackle. He can also play the left. So to get someone like that, Shane, in the second, that was a name I missed. Both of those, Klug and him, great names. Great. That kid's an up-and-coming, ascending tackle, too. I don't think the Patriots want to lose him. I know both their tackles are in Dallas, but I know they don't want to lose Fleming.
Two questions left. John Santucci, Chooch, says three words, run-pass option. That is what Nagy is bringing to the Bears. Helfrich is bringing the flood zone concepts for Oregon. And Heistand is a master of zone blocking techniques. With the Bears' offensive weapons, do we have a big boy offense?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a 180-degree
potentially. Let's throw that
on
out
paper,
there.
On paper. But a 180-degree twist, I'm very confident, I'll tell you why. Coaching-wise, a 180. And speed-wise and talent, a 180. You know, you look at Wheaton and some of the names that were running routes out there, you've upgraded from them. And you've also gotten so much faster. And now your most lethal weapon in Tariq Cohen in that kind of field flipper is not the only weapon you have. And to have that kind of mixology, like the barkeep can drop a bunch of drinks and everybody can get a flavor. Now your coaching staff is a bartender, because what are they going to be serving up? For Chicago's not ready for this. I think Santucci's question is rhetorical in the fact that this is big time, big bar drinks. This is top shelf, and it's not the same watered-down BS that you saw with John Fox and the conservativeness. Aggressive philosophy on offense with the coaching and the talent. To me, Shane, I'm willing to put my freaking flag in the Soldier Field sod and say, yes, this is going to be special. I feel that confident.
Yeah, it's a hell of a start. I mean, it's a lot better than where we were last year at this time heading into the draft. And like I said, the biggest thing is we're finally seeing Pace's plan kind of unfold before our eyes. And, you know, quarterback, he went out and got the big wide receiver. To me, we still need to add speed to this offense. I mean, you got Turbo Gabriel and Cohen. And Burton is going to add to that element. I still think they need to add more, really, on both sides of the ball, speed, because still the Bears, I mean, there's a discernible difference when you're watching the Chicago Bears play and you're watching other NFL teams play. I mean, just from the speed factor alone, that has upgraded this year, so that's a fantastic start, but potentially, yeah, you're going to be better. We just got to get our injuries have to. That's going to be the key thing right there. If we stay healthy and you're counting on that year two jump from Mitch, you know, you want Robinson to bounce back from that injury. Cohen's got to take another jump. Howard hopefully can maintain. You want to see a healthy Kyle Long. What he's going to bring to this offense. You want to see I don't think you're going to see Adam Shaheen is still going to be, you know, ascending. I don't want people to expect enormous things from him this year. He's got the potential for that, but tight ends can take some time. So it's going to be really interesting to watch.
Okay, gentlemen, we have covered a lot tonight, and there is a lot more to cover in the days leading up to the draft. Final thoughts.
Money, 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 money. Pace spent money. That right there tells me this is different. This is now. We want to win. We want to spend. We want to win. We identified. We showed conviction. All of the things we asked happened. Thank you, Ryan Pace. Thank you for matching the Fuller deal. Thank you for flip-flopping in the right direction and getting speed and weaponry for your quarterback. This has been a masterful beginning. And as Shane said, and as Aldo shakes his head, this team is moving in the right direction. It ain't done yet.
Shane sent off already?
No, I'm here. I was listening. No, it's going to be fun. Everybody stay with us. And I think Phil, I got to give our super producer some credit. I saw his comment in the chat room about this may be a different drafting Ryan Pace. And I think there's a lot of validity to that. Just talking about with he's got his guys. So maybe he's going to go away from the projects. Maybe he's going to go get the ready-made guy. You know, if he wants an inside linebacker, maybe he's not going to go with a guy that's going to take a little bit of time in Edmonds. Maybe it's going to be a Roquan Smith. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe he's going to make that move for Saquon Barkley if he's there at 8. Who knows? It's going to be fun to watch. And stay with us because we're going to get you guys all the way through it. He's a project.
I love him.
Well, it is going to be fun to watch, just as much fun as watching Aldo dance right now. Our barflies never stopped once in the chat room, and here's what some of them had to say. New show name suggestions, because an hour just isn't enough. Air Jared, Bears, we talk as long as we want, so F you live. Source Egg, Bear Down for Hours. Chris Armstrong 1 says, Bears, we are so excited not to suck this year, so we'll talk for as long as we want. Trey Busy, Bears, sometimes in our live. Source Egg, Bears, deal with it live. And Aldo, Da Bears Brothers, we're not live. And we have one other comment from the chat room. Frankie Myers writes, in the modern NFL, isn't the idea to get a high-impact player on a low-value contract? Wouldn't drafting a player who could potentially take years to reach his full potential ultimately waste the benefit of that draft contract?
Don't draft quarterbacks, then.
All right.
Don't tackle that on 100 proof.
Don't forget, we have extended the contest to win one of 10 copies of Pro Football Weekly's 2018 Draft Guide, open to all barflies worldwide. So head on over to our Twitter page at Bears Barroom or our webpage, bearsbarroom.com, to get all the details on how to enter. Contest closes at midnight Eastern on March 30th. And a friendly reminder that Bears 100 Proof will be back to a pre-recorded podcast out this Wednesday. And if that wasn't enough, another brand new Bears on Tap will be out on Friday this week as well. Thanks for listening in, everyone, and hanging out in the chat room with us for almost 2 hours tonight. We absolutely love connecting with you. That wraps up this edition of Bears Hour Live, and we will see you all next week. Bye.
Peace.
Yeah, you know you got to feel it. You got